Hello and welcome to the Colcast. It is January 14th, 2010, 2010, however you be interested. It's interesting to see how that whole pronunciation thing goes during the year. Anyways, this is episode 11. Our topic tonight is stokers versus hand-fired stoves, and we're going to be following that up in the second half with a discussion of hand-fired stoves. Our show is so far focused quite a bit on stoker stoves, and we've kind of given hand-fired stoves short shrifts, so we're going to try and remedy that tonight. I'm one of your hosts for tonight, Paul Volko. I'm with Automation Correct, makers of the Coltrol. And we also have Mike A. with us from Number 9 Tour Mine and a Jetto Coal Company. He's an electrician over there. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Let's see. It's been an episode or two since you were with us. We did the interview last show was with Leisure Line. Did you get a chance to listen to that show?
I did. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was too. Hopefully we'll be able to do that some more as the days or as the year goes on. I'd like to get some more interviews with some of the manufacturers, especially those that are participating on the forums over NEPAcrossroads.com. There is a thread up for our episode here tonight, episode 10. If you're interested, or actually episode 11, if you want to ask any questions during the show, go ahead and head over there to the forum, and we'll be checking that throughout the evening here, and we'll answer questions as they come up. I guess that's about it. Like I said, we're going to have a two-part show tonight. First part is stokers versus hand-fired stoves. I guess we'll start in with stokers. What are the pros of stokers, Mike?
They're a lot more user-friendly, I think. You don't take any special skills, really, to use a stoker. Any longer stretches between your refills, and you don't have to tend them as often.
What's involved with tending a hand-fired stove versus a stoker?
A hand-fired stove is almost like having a pet at the house. You have to go down in the morning and shake it down and fill it up with coal and repeat it again in the evening. Hopefully you can get 12 hours between burns, maybe a little longer. A stoker is more like what Ron Popiel said with them turkey ovens of his. You just set it and forget it.
All right. And then, of course, also with stokers, you have more options for control. Obviously, with a hand-fired stove, there's no electronics or anything on it, so you basically have to be there screwing around with how much air you're letting through it, possibly some kind of damper. So it's a little bit more involved. It takes a bit more skill and time to learn how to control one of those versus a stoker, where you have quite a bit of options. You got manual knobs like they used to have. Some of them are coming up. They have rheostats or timers on them. Traditional thermostats, and then also the more advanced thermostats, kind of like the Coltrol. You kind of hit on it already. There's a bit less learning curve with a stoker. Is that right?
That's right. Usually, if you read through the instruction book pretty good, you should be able to set one up with really no special knowledge. If you never burnt coal before, that's really the way to go. The nice thing, too, with the controls of a stoker, a lot of times you could start off with the base controls, and as you get used to the stove and feel what your needs are for the particular stove, you might be able to advance into more sophisticated controls, too, so you don't have to start out with the top of the line.
Right, that's especially true if you have... Actually, pretty much anything. If you have manual knobs or rheostats and timers and you want to move up to a traditional thermostat, usually there's an option for that. Basically, you end up having to add a 24-volt supply and just hooking that up in maybe a relay package. Or with the Coltrol, obviously, if you got the motors, all you need are some plug cords and you can plug it in and you're ready to go. All right, and then also there's mechanical venting with a... With a stoker stove, you have some more venting options, which offers you more installation options. With a hand-fired stove, you're pretty much restricted to operating with a traditional chimney, and that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And a nice thing about a stoker is if somebody's a little bit leery of having coal in their house and never burned coal before, they're not familiar with that, and there's no existing chimney there to vent it through. Like you said, you could get a stoker stove with a power venter or direct vent, and you could try it. If you like it, that's good. You can put up a traditional chimney later on if you want, or just stick with the power venter or the direct vent. Or if you don't like it, the investment really isn't that big. Well, at least not as big as it would be if you had to put up a masonry chimney and found out you didn't like it. So,
right. And of course, you can use a regular chimney with either a stoker or a hand fire. We talked a little bit about this, I think, was it 2 episodes ago, where we were talking with Paul Welder about venting and dampers and everything else. For a chimney, for any coal stove, you want to go with either a masonry chimney, something with like a terracotta lining, or you can go with a stainless steel chimney. Anything else, if you use any of the less resistant to corrosion metals for your chimney, anything like a some wood stove chimneys aren't going to be able to stand up to the corrosive power of the fly ash, so you'll end up having to go with the stainless steel chimney.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I've seen it already, and I don't really recommend doing this at all, but I've seen it where people have tried to vent stoves through regular galvanized pipe. I mean, not just a short length to go to the chimney, but a full length, and it didn't work out too good for them. So you're better
off.
Yeah,
you'll end up having to replace that pretty quick.
Yep, that's correct.
And then you can also get liners. If you have an existing chimney that isn't maybe up to snuff for whatever reason for coal, you can get liners that can be put down through them. Those, you know, again, the higher quality stainless steel, it's going to last longer than the cheaper stuff. So that's what you got to look for with the chimneys. And, of course, with the stokers, you have the advantage of being able to use mechanical venting. It's cheaper upfront costs, but you do have to maintain that mechanical system if it's a power venter or a direct vent.
The other good thing when I'm thinking about it, with the stoker stove versus a hand-fired, stoker stoves tend to be a little more forgiving with the draft. You don't always have to have a perfect draft for them to work, whereas with a hand-fired, they're very finicky as far as the draft goes. So if you have a metal chimney outside the house, you might be fine with the stoker stove, but when it comes time to hand-fire, it might not work out that good, especially in the fringes of the season.
Right, and that's partly, perhaps mostly because of the fact you with a stoker stove, you have mechanical combustion air going through. There's actual blower that's pushing air through that fire. Whereas with a hand-fired stove, you depend entirely on the natural draft that's formed through the stove in your chimney to draw air up through the coal bed and to feed that fire with oxygen. I think that's pretty good listing on the pros of the stoker. Let's talk a little bit about hand-fired, and they're certainly still around. It's not like stoker stoves are the end-all be-all of coal burning by any means. Hand-fired, they have no dependence on electricity, first and foremost. You don't have any motors or anything like that, so if the power goes out, you still got a heat source and potentially even a cooking area.
That's correct. Now, there is a way around that a little bit with the stokers, too. If you're in an area where the power does go out a lot, you could always use a UPS or something. That'll get you through a little bit. But the nice part with a hand-fired stove is you can run indefinitely without power, which is a beautiful thing.
Right. I mean, if you have a backup power source for your stoker stove, whether it's a generator, a UPS, or whatever, UPS is going to run out fairly quickly, even if you do some kind of custom job with a couple of, 12-volt car batteries hooked up to it. It's still going to only last you, several hours at best. If you go with a generator of any kind, you're dependent on whatever fuel source that is. So if it's gasoline or diesel, you're restricted by whatever you have there. If it's natural gas, you're dependent on that fuel source being stable and available. So, hand fire definitely wins out in terms of dependability in anything from just a minor power outage through a full-blown crisis where you don't have power or these other fuel sources for an electric generator. What other benefits or pros are there for a hand fire?
One of the biggest pros that a hand fired has over a stoker is a stoker, most of them, you're pretty limited to the size of coal that you could burn, usually rice or buck. With the hand fired, most of the time, they'll take at the smallest pea, sometimes if the firebox is big enough, all the way up the stove, or even bigger coal. So, in a dead of winter, like this recent cold snap we have, it may, we've already seen it at different breakers, where the smaller sizes of coal haven't been available just because of the tremendous demand, especially for rice. But it's very, very rare that a breaker run out of pea or not or stove-sized coal. So you always have the advantage with a hand fire. You almost never run out of fuel at the breakers available for it. Whereas with the stoker, that is a possibility in the dead of winter.
Can you talk a little bit about the coal sizing? Obviously, talking about stokers, you're talking either rice or buck. We haven't talked about the larger sizes or really, what the sizes mean. Can you maybe just give us a quick rundown on maybe a smallest size to largest size, what the names are and kind of approximately how large the chunks are?
Sure. Your smallest coal that you're going to see used in a house would be barley. And there isn't very many stokers out there that burn barley. The loshes were the most popular for barley. And that would be approximately the size of like grape nut cereal, about like that big or so. Your next size, which is probably the most popular size of coal, is the rice. Now, most stokers will burn rice. And rice is about the size of cooked rice or a little bigger. And then you move on up to your buck-sized coal. Buck-sized coal is approximately the size of a dime. And that, you see, that's used a lot too, especially in older stokers. The Van Wertz use buck. Gentleman Janitors use buck. Yellow Flames, they could use buck. And you're a lot of your stoves too, if you're not venting through a power venter, will use buck. You can vent, if you're using a natural chimney, they could use buck. The next size bigger would be pea, and that's about the size of a quarter. And your Franco Belders were popular with that, and the old Kitchen Rangers. The next size bigger would be your nut size coal, chestnut size coal, and that would be about the size of about say a silver dollar. That's approximately that size. And your next one that you don't see too much anymore at the breakers would be stove size coal. That's almost the size of a softball. And then egg, very rarely see anymore. That's big. And that was in the old days with the hand-fired warm air furnaces in the house. You used to use egg a lot. And overseas, they used to ship a lot of that overseas. But that's about the biggest that you'd see at a breaker.
You said the smallest size was barley?
Correct. Now, that's not the smallest size, but that's the smallest size that is available to your domestic consumer.
What would the use for that be? I mean, the reason, like you're saying, a lot of the stoker stoves use rice coal or buck, and the reason that the more modern ones don't use buck is that you end up getting too many air holes through it, and you can it'll burn too hot, basically. Some of them are designed to handle that, other ones aren't. Increasingly, they aren't. Increasingly, they recommend just going with straight rice, or maybe at most a rice buck mix. Where did barley come about, and is it used really at all anymore?
Barley is still used quite a bit. The biggest use for them was in the losh stokers, and losh is one of the very in the way old days, the early days of stoker stoves or stoker boilers and furnaces in the house, the losh was a very popular one. There's still a lot of them out there. And that's a flatbed stoker. It looks similar to a key stoker at first glance, but there's actually water passageways through the grate. And there's no feeder mechanism per se, except that the grate vibrates and the coal just vibrate down it. And they were able to use barley, and that's what was recommended for them. Now, people have used barley in EFMs. Not a really great success. I mean, that's something you could use in a pinch, but I don't really recommend using it. But a losh will use anything up to pea too.
Maybe it's because they use that vibrating bed in a losh that they can get away with that small size because it's vibrating, it lets the air up through it a lot more readily than it would if it was just sitting there.
I think that has a lot to do with it. And a lot of your bigger boilers that you'd find in a courthouse or a bigger school or something, they have what they call a traveling bed stoker, and it's almost like a conveyor, and that's the actual
Right.
grate, and the air will blow up through the bottom of that. And a lot of them will use barley too.
Okay. Sorry for the aside. I just it was interesting. We hadn't really gone over the sizes before. I really hadn't ever gotten a good concise explanation of the sizing and what they're called and everything. So that was good. Back to our original topic though, hand-fired stoves and the pros of them. Let's see. Like you said, there's more coal sizes available for them, and those sizes are typically less subject to demand supply problems. Let's see, there's also I think just a personal opinion, hand fire stoves, they tend to look nicer because they don't use electricity, they don't have any motors on them making noise, and the fact that they do tend to look nicer, I think it makes them an ideal stove for placement in a living area, whether it be a living room, a kitchen, or even if you get a couple of smaller ones, you could even go with a smaller one in each bedroom or something like that.
I agree. They typically do look nicer. Not that there's, not nice looking stoker stoves out there. It's just that, as a rule, I always thought the hand fireds do look nicer, and they're better suited for different circumstances.
Yeah, perhaps it's another part of why they look nice. They tend to have quite a bit of glass on them, I've found. And unlike with a stoker, because you have fly ash blowing around inside there quite a bit, with a hand fire, the glass isn't going to get clouded up quite as quickly, and it just preserves that nice look. You get a very good look at the fire, the coal bed, and there's just something about them that I think is makes them very nice for living areas versus stokers with all the noise. And even if they, might look nice, there's just some drawbacks to them where hand fired can be better.
That's true. That's very true. And there's places like in a hand fire where they're nice is in a garage or in a cellar or something that you don't use very often, because they could sit there for years and not get used, and you could throw some wood in there, light a fire, and then throw coal on it and go to town. But the stoker, if it sits for a couple of years, what's saying that, the stoker mechanism, might freeze up, might rust up just from not being used. So that's another time when I think a hand fire is a better choice.
Yeah, actually, I moved to Syracuse from Rochester, what, 3 or 4 years ago now. And when I bought the house, the prior owners actually had two small hand-fired coal stoves here. And they took one of them, but they left one of them here. And it still works. I haven't ever burned it, but I've gone out there, take a look at it, and make sure it hasn't rusted up or anything. And it's held up very well. I know that. With a stoker, if I wouldn't have been able to get away with that with a stoker. A stoker would have had to been cleaned out pretty thoroughly, and summarized, for lack of a better term. Let's see. I mentioned earlier that the a hand-fired stove, besides being a reliable heat source when the electricity's out, they are also they can double as a like a stove for cooking basically. Most of them operate as a radiant heater, especially your room stoves. So if they'll you'll be able to put stuff on the top of them, and be able to actually get some cooking use out of them, or at the very least be able to heat up some water or whatever.
Yeah, we've done that. We actually do that quite frequently out, actually, at the one deep mine I work at. On Saturdays, somebody always brings some food out. We stick it on top of the hot air furnace there, and I don't know what it is. It always seems to taste better too after it's warmed up on that. Maybe it's just a
It's a
psychological
pinch of
thing, but
sulfur.
yeah, it's just a little bit of something. Yeah, yep.
Let's see. Another benefit of not having the mechanical parts on it is they, and like you just said, their maintenance requirements are lower. They don't break down as often. Typically, they're built either with cast iron or thick sheet metal, kind of built like tanks, basically. So, they're going to last a very long time. If you give them proper maintenance, you're talking about a generational a multi-generational appliance that could be passed down through the family if you wanted. Stokers will hold up quite a long time too. I mean, you can definitely get a lifetime of use out of them, but you know, they're just a little bit different beast. The hand-fired stoves. They were made in a older time, and they are still made the same way.
That's true. I could think of a half a dozen hand-fired stoves out there that are probably 70, 80 years old or better, and are just as good as the day they were new. Boilers, the old Stoker boilers and stuff too, a lot of those are made to last forever as long as you keep up with a little bit of maintenance on them. Some of the newer stuff does have some wear items on it, but even they're not really that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like Stoker's are going to fall apart on you or anything like that. They require a little bit more maintenance, but I mean, it's not like they're going to rust up into a solid block of corrosion on you or anything like that after a year and a hand-fired one. I mean, hand-fireds will rust up on you as well. You do, for summarizing them, we'll talk about that in a little bit. They do need a little bit of maintenance, just like a Stoker. Is there anything else you can think of with the hand-fired that sets it above the Stokers?
Not particularly. The one thing, though, that a hand-fired... Well, that really doesn't help you. I was going to say, change the size of coal at your board, and it could vary the heat output, or how fast the coal burns up. The smaller sizes burn slower. The bigger size will burn faster. But with the Stoker, you don't have to worry about that. You adjust your feed rate and get the same effect, really.
And, of course, I mean, you know, if you've spent any time on the NEPA forums, there's these two terms that go around, the girly man and the manly man. Hand-fireds, you know, get to claim the manly man status, you know, just because they are a little bit more difficult to use and get used to and learn. You know, they have that great distinction, and like I said earlier, they're built like tanks, so, you know, when the revolution comes, they can be used for a defensive shooting position if you need to.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Okay, let's see. I think that about covers it for the first part of our show here. I guess we'll jump into the second part, the use of the hand-fired stoves. We touched on some of this a little bit, but I think it's worth going into in a little more depth. I guess we'll start with how do you start a coal fire in one of these hand-fired stoves?
Well, you know, with that, some people do it a little differently, but how I do it is I usually open up all my dampers, and I got a pretty good wood fire going in there. Not a big rip-roaring fire, but a decent fire. I let that just about burn out where you got some good hot embers in there. And I'll throw a shovel two or full of coal on there, and that'll let you know it's working. It'll snap a crackle and pop. Then I'll let that sit for a couple minutes, and I throw some more on. And then once that cop, you'll start seeing little blue dancers. Then I throw more on, and I keep going that way really until I get pretty near the top of the firebox. I'll let that get good going, and then I'll adjust my dampers accordingly.
How long does that process take to get to a full stove?
To the point that the firebox is full, not a good day, maybe 15, 20 minutes at the most.
So there's not a whole lot of difference in terms of time with the Stoker stove. I mean, some people claim to be able to start them up inside of, you know, 5 minutes, and other people take 10 or 15 minutes depending on their method and how learned they are with it. But all right, so there isn't a whole lot of difference there. You mentioned dampers and air. What kind of controls are there on a hand-fired stove that one has to know about, and how do you use each one?
Usually all a typical hand-fired stove, all you have on it is a damper in the ash pit. Some of the ones that are available that burn wood as well, you'll have a damper in the firebox door. When you're burning coal, you usually leave that completely shut. You don't open that at all because you don't want any over-the-fire air. And then up for great debate is what kind of damper do you have in the smoke pipe? Do you have a barometric or a turn damper? In a hand-fired, in my opinion, I always like to see the turn damper, but that's just my opinion. Some people like to see a better barometric. And usually to throttle your fire down, you just close your ash pit damper off. And if you're using a turn damper in a smoke pipe, just turn that back some. And open it up, you just do the opposite.
All right, so sometimes you'll hear terms primary air and versus secondary air. So that primary air would be the air that you're letting in through the dash pan, and secondary would be the air through the door?
That's correct, yep.
All right, and the secondary air, is that only used, what, for a wood fire then?
Correct, yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. If you're using bituminous coal, then you can use that too, they recommend. I'm not too skilled in using bituminous coal. But with an anthracite coal fire, never use over the fire air.
What, do you know why that is?
All I know is the anthracite always like all the air to come up from underneath and not over the top of it.
All right. Well, just wondering. another term that you'll sometimes hear associated with hand fires is banking. What is that?
That's basically when you load the fire up at night to go through the night or go through your extended burn times. Now, some people do it a little differently, but what I always do is fill the firebox up. We'll shake it down first, get the ash out, fill the firebox up. But when I do it, I always leave a little corner exposed. The idea there is that'll ignite the volatile gases that'll burn off immediately as you throw that fresh coal on. But, you know, different people do it a little differently.
No, okay, you just mentioned a channel will let the volatile gases go. What happens if you don't have that?
Usually the stove goes boom. What happens is that the stove, there's no better way to put it. The stove will fill up with those volatile gases. It'll be releasing them quicker than the smoke pipe could take them out. And something's going to set them off. You know, usually there'll be a little flame or something that will set them off, and they'll ignite at once. And it's a small bomb. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything, really. It shouldn't anyway. Just usually a little excitement.
Are we talking a actual loud bang, or are we like just a kind of a serious puff?
It'd be more of a serious puff.
Okay. Let's see. And just to let people know, that can actually even happen with a stoker stove. If you get some fresh coal on there, especially if it's a little bit damp, as the water's cooking off of it and it's releasing volatile gases in there, sometimes you'll get some puffing that'll occur. And especially if you open up the door to look at the fire, it'll tend to let it go off a bit there. So just something to look out for. Nothing to worry about too bad. Yep, looks like we just lost Mike, unfortunately. Must have just dropped down. I'll keep going here. Hopefully he'll join back up in a few seconds. There he is now. How you doing, Mike? Seemed to lost you there for a second.
Yeah, I don't know. We had technical difficulties here.
Now Richard left. Hopefully the show's still going.
I don't know what happened. You were talking, then I lost you, and then I lost you. I don't know.
All right, well, let's see. We just got done talking about banking. I guess the next question on a list here is, I don't know if this is relatively recent or not, but I've seen models of hand-fired stoves that have what they call a hopper. What is that? How does that even work? What's going on with that?
Really, in a roundabout way, all that hopper is, it's an extension of the firebox. Anthracite likes to burn from the bottom up, and what that is that... you'll have your fire in the bottom, and then off the back side of it, or off to one side or the other, you'll have coal that'll feed by gravity from that hopper right down to the top of the fire. And as the fire burns down, the coal naturally by gravity is going to flow down and refill the firebox. And that's not really a new thing. They've been around for years. I personally have seen some old boilers in houses that were set up just like that. I think they used to call that a magazine stove, something to that effect.
Is there any benefit to that versus a regular stove where you just kind of have to fill it up?
You could almost think of that as a hybrid between a stoker and a hand-fired. What you gain is you have longer burn times between your refills, so you can leave it go a little longer. But you don't have the benefit of an automatic stoker where you could adjust the feed. Well, you could to a limited extent, but it's not as nice as a regular stoker. But, you know, it's better than some might say, than a regular hand-fired.
So it's really just to extend the burn times on a hand-fired stove?
Yep, that's correct. The most popular model on one of these stoves is a Franco-Belge. That's popular. You used to see them all over the place. And that's the principle they work on.
we mentioned earlier that a hand-fired stove, you're limited to a chimney versus a stoker, which can use a power venter. Why can't you use a power venter with a hand-fired stove?
The idea behind that is, with a hand-fired stove, at any given time, you usually have a much, much greater quantity of coal burning. Plus, you have fresh coal that's on the fire that hasn't caught. Now, with the stoker stove, you have a limited amount of coal that's burning, and if you lose power, it'll cut the feed off, and you're not going to feed any more coal onto the fire. Whereas with the stoker stove, or with the hand-fired, that coal has to burn out. So, in the event of a power failure, until the fire burns out with the hand-fired stove, you might have carbon monoxide gas building up in the house because it's not going to vent out through the power venter.
So it's not really a problem with the venter causing too much draft or anything. It's actually the problem of it, clamping down on the draft if the power goes out.
Yeah, that's correct. It's my understanding UL labs or any lab really won't approve a power venter be used with a hand-fired stove just for that reason.
And it's a similar thing with wood stoves, although I think I've seen some wood stoves that actually claim to have some kind of mechanical venting. Now, typically, you don't see a mechanical venting on a wood stove either, right?
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Alaska, on one of their models, that's a hopper feed model, similar to Frankel Belge, but bigger, I think they have some sort of mechanical venting approved for that, but I'm not sure how that works.
All right, well, something to look into. Maybe we can discuss it on a later show, or maybe one of our listeners here has posted something on the forums for us. If you are listening and want to ask a question, head over to nepacrossroads.com, check out the Coalcast EP11 forum topic, and we'll get to the questions here in a few minutes. We're just about done discussing hand fired here. Only got a few more questions here on the list. Let's see. Is there any difference in using or starting and keeping a fire going in a room stove that's hand fired versus a furnace or a boiler?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
The difference between a room stove or versus a furnace or a boiler that's hand fired. Are there any fundamental differences between them, just besides the size of them?
Not to my knowledge. I believe they all have the same basic, the same basic parts. It's just an increase in size or decrease in size depending on which way you go. I don't think there's really any major difference between them.
All right. Clinkers. They happen in stoker stoves from time to time, although they're relatively immune to it. If you end up with a clinker in a stoker stove, chances are you have too much combustion air going through there, and you need to move the damper or maybe put a piece of tape across the combustion motor inlet. Do you get clinkers with hand-fired stoves, and how do you avoid them?
You do get clinkers with hand-fired stoves, and the easiest way to avoid them is just to burn a different type of coal. That's the easiest way. A clinker is basically that's iron in the coal, and as it burns, it forms a molten mass and just jams things up. Now, white ash coal typically is more immune to having clinkers form. Not saying it's never going to happen with white ash, but it's pretty rare to see it. Now, red ash is more prone to it, but it might not be a problem to it. That's one of them things you have to just try and see what it does in your situation.
So when you say a different kind of coal, you're talking a different mine or a different, so to speak, manufacturer of the coal versus a different size?
Correct. Yeah, it'll come from a different vein or a different part of the same vein of coal. And it's, like I said, typically your red ash coals are more prone to clinker, but it may not be a problem either.
So obviously, that you got some options if you're just buying relatively small quantities at a time. But, if you got 3 or 4 ton of coal in your basement or out in the backyard that you're planning to use for a whole winter, you're kind of stuck with whatever you got. So is there any way to help avoid the clinkering with a stove if you're kind of stuck with the fuel?
The easiest way would be, in my mind, would be to try to get a little bit of different coal and blend the two. Blend some white ash with red ash or different red ash in and see what it does.
All right. Let's see. And I guess the last point to hit here is what kind of maintenance is involved with a hand-fired stove, especially for the off-season?
Really not much more than what you have with the stoker. Just at the end of the season, clean it out good, brush it down. If you're so inclined to coat it with oil, do so. Other than that, that's about it.
All right, well, let's see here. I'm taking a look at the forum topic here right now just to see what's in there. Let's see, you got a testimonial here from CNT Bill. Says he has a Vermont Castings Vigilant first year with it, and he likes it quite a bit. he agrees. They has a nicer look than Stoker's. He likes the look of his stove. And can burn either pea or nut coal in that. So at least there's one happy customer for hand-fired stoves. let's see, head up the thread here a little bit and see what got posted on there earlier. It doesn't look like there's any questions posted in there. There's a couple of comments, people just giving testimony to either their hand-fired or their stoker stoves. Both are very good decisions to go with. Either way you go, you're going to be getting better economy for your heating dollar. And, if you are looking for convenience over reliability, so to speak, or that isn't even fair, not reliability in terms of the mechanics of the stove, but endurance during times of either having no power or whatever, what have you, the hand fires will do you better. But if you're looking for some more convenience and more control options, that kind of thing, then you're probably going to want to go with the stoker. One thing we didn't really mention was cost. Do you think that it's fair to say that you can get into burning coal with a hand-fired stove for cheaper than you would with a stoker stove?
Really, till all said and done, it probably is a little cheaper, but I don't think there's a real great big difference between a quality hand-fired and a quality stoker stove. I think they're fairly close in price anymore.
Even for the smaller ones? I know, if you take a look, say, like a Legion Line, a Sidewinder, or an Econo, they're relatively cheap stoves. They're a good way to get into burning, especially if you're not sure, if you're only wanting some, say, like a good room heater as opposed to a whole house heater. Obviously, there's a lot of smaller hand-fired stoves out there as well. I have to imagine that you can probably get into one of those cheaper than a equivalent BTU output stoker stove.
Well, you probably are right. I didn't really think about that too much. The small Leisure Line, Redding does make that utility stove. That's fairly cheap. Yeah, so I guess you're right about that. The smaller stoves maybe are cheaper with the stoker.
Yeah, I think that would be the case. Probably what you were thinking of is, if you're talking like once you get up into, say, 90,000 BTU, 70,000 or up, then you're probably going to be able to either do the same or better by going with a stoker, at least for a dollar value. Because once you start getting up in those larger sizes for the hand-fired stoves, typically you're paying for a lot of metal, a lot of shipping costs, and because they do put more time into the aesthetics of the stove, I think you end up paying kind of a premium for a hand-fired stove at that BTU level as opposed to a stoker.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let's see, checking the forum thread here again. Quite a bit of posts here about problems with our stream. We did experience a little bit of technical difficulty there when Mike dropped off and then Richard dropped off. Hopefully things are back up and running here. If not, we do record these and we'll be posting the recording in a few minutes. I think that's about it. There haven't been any more posts of any questions. Was there anything else you wanted to discuss before we signed off for the night, Mike?
No, that pretty much wraps it up.
All right. I guess that's it then. Our next show is going to be scheduled for February 4th. We're going to be talking with Craig Isod. He is the operator of Hearth.com. That's www.hearth.com. He's been in the business for many, many years. He was a pioneer within the industry as far as getting it online and into the digital age. Runs a very successful site over there, and we're very happy to have him as a guest coming up here in a couple of weeks. So hopefully you'll all be able to tune in for that, and we'll be discussing with him online technology within the hearth and alternative fuels heating industry. Probably get a little bit of his take on where coal fits into the mix of alternative heating and the hearth industry and whatever else we can come up with. If you guys have any questions for him, definitely jump onto the forums and let us know. We'll be starting up a thread for it very quickly, and we'll leave that open so you can go ahead and start posting questions and discussing the upcoming interview. As always, thanks to Richard, the purveyor and operator of NEPACrossroads.com, our host and benevolent mayor over there. And just want to thank him, as always, for providing a great resource for all the coal-burning community out there. He's built it up over the last couple of years from meager beginnings to the colossus that it is today. And hopefully it'll keep growing and... Yes, I am a brown noser. So that's enough of that. Thanks, Mike, for helping out with hosting duties here tonight. And thanks to our listeners. We'll be back with you soon. Later.